That was Joe Buck on Saturday. That was a perfect call. In a game that showed the flaws and the greatness of baseball this time of the year, and now we're off to the World Series. Our next guest will be at the World Series. You love him on Yahoo. He is Mr. Old Baseball Cards, his latest edition, opening up baseball cards with Dave Stewart. Unfortunately, people try and duplicate what Mike Oz does. They can never replicate that. Another fantastic episode online as he joins us now. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How's it going?
Good. Hey, I hope you do call out these people that are trying to do what you have perfected about with former baseball players and opening a pack of cards. They just can't do it like you can. No one is getting, of the latest episode, Dave Stewart to talk about Wade Boggs and other players that kind of go all in on some of the guys they see in their pack of cards.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good testament to our show, though, that I don't usually have to call people out like, you know, other people, like our viewers call them out, which I think is better for me. Cause I like it when, you know, if I have people out there that like the show and will defend the show. I think that speaks volumes to what we're doing versus, you know, what other people are doing.
Hey, in Vegas, the Astros are a heavy favorite and they have a chance. They win the World Series to put themselves on the different kind of level in terms of what they've done in 2019. But knowing what you know about the way the Nationals have done here in the postseason and really the last couple of weeks of the last month of the season leading into the postseason, if you are Mr. Vegas and you're trying to lay down some odds on this, how close is this series for you between Houston and Washington?
I think the Astros still are the favorite, but I think it's a lot closer than, you know, if you would have told me on October 1st it's going to be the Astros and the Nationals in the World Series, I think we all would have been like, well, that's going to be easy for the Astros. I don't think it's necessarily going to be that. I don't think it's going to be a sweep. I think the Nationals match up pretty well against Houston. And I think they've been hot. You know, the question that I have now is if the Astros are the team that are kind of coming in with the momentum and the Nats have basically had a week off. So I'll be curious to see how they respond to that. I mean, it could be good for them as much as they've kind of had to use their pitching, their starters specifically to get to where they're at. So I think that's kind of the X factor in the series. But, I mean, if you look at the two teams, like, pretty evenly matched in a lot of ways. It's just that, you know, the Nationals were so bad for a while this season. If you compare when they were sort of good or playing well, you know, they were just as good as the Astros for a lot of that time. I think it's just, you know, they did have that stretch that was where they played pretty poorly. But, you know, I think the Astros are the favorite. I don't think it's you know, like huge difference, but I think it's still, you know, decently close.
So why did, and you know, in sports now, whether it be in the NBA or the NFL, tanking is a popular word. And you can say, hey, the Astros tanked their way to the top. But why would the Astros model of what they did, you know, from 2011 really through 2013, why has it worked out so well?
Well, I mean, we've seen a couple teams try this now, and I mean, the Cubs essentially did the same thing, and I think it is a little bit of gambling, right? Like you're betting on all these young guys kind of getting good at the same time, and then sort of making the right move, you know, in that time to supplement those guys. So for the Astros, it was trading for Justin Verlander, right? Like we have all these young players, we're going to trade for Justin Verlander. That's going to be the thing that makes us into a World Series team in 2017. For the Cubs, it was signing John Lester. You know, that was kind of their guy. And I think the difference in the Cubs and the Astros is just that, you know, all the Astros guys have continued to be good all this time. I mean, Alex Bregman, you know, was probably not the guy that we thought was going to be the superstar for the Astros. That was going to be Carlos Correa. And he's kind of, you know, stepped into that role. You know, you got Altuve. And then I think the Astros, the other thing they've done is a lot of their little, you know, one-year, two-year moves have really, really worked out. Like Michael Brantley. Wade Miley hasn't done a ton for them in postseason, but I mean, he was great for them during the regular season. So I feel like they've just been able to kind of do everything right. And I think this is kind of the model now. Like, you know, you sort of save up for when you think it's going to be your time to go on a run, and you get these guys that are all kind of, you know, in the same sort of 2 or 3 year gap of, all right, we can go now. And we're going to win in this, you know, all in one, instead of kind of this model, and the Nats have done it, and the Yankees have done it, and lots of teams have done it over the years, where it's just like, we want to be sustained good. We want to always be good. And that's hard in baseball. Like, you know, you end up being the Phillies or the Tigers or the teams that try to hang on to it, and then just, it gets really painful. So I think it's really interesting. You know, we have a lot of teams now that are going to want to be like the Astros. And if they win this year, there's going to be more teams, I think, that try to emulate it too.
Mike Oz from Yahoo Sports joining us. Does that model also include spending a lot of money in the offseason to keep Garrett Cole, you think?
I think that's the question, right? I sort of suspect it does. I think that, you know, that's probably one of the reasons that they brought over Zach Greinke. The question that they're going to have is, you know, some of these guys are going to need to get paid soon. And, you know, they paid Verlander. I mean, not super long term, obviously, but, you know, he's around for a little bit. Greinke's around for a couple more years. But pretty soon they're going to have to start making some decisions about, you know, George Springer, Carlos Correa. I mean, Bregman has a little bit longer than a couple of those guys. But that's where the whole model gets tricky, right? Like, how sustainable is it when you're kind of banking on these young players who don't have, you know, huge free agency type contracts, who are, you know, still making relatively, you know, a little bit amount of money compared to, you know, how much top baseball players can make. And that's where it gets tricky. And I think, you know, the Astros are, I don't think they're not a poor team. I mean, they're not a small market team. They can certainly go out there and spend money. It's just, you know, is their model such that they think that they can fill in that gap with somebody else. And, you know, they have a lot of pitching in the wings. I mean, Lance McCullers Jr. was, you know, another one of those guys that was supposed to be a star, had Tommy John surgery out this year. So I'm assuming they're looking at him as a guy who can come in and, you know, be good next year. I don't know if he can be Garrett Cole good, but, you know, I think that those are sort of the, if they win this, those are the questions that become the dynasty questions for the Astros. Like, you know, how do you, what happens next? Is two enough, or are you going for five?
You have Cole, Verlander, Scherzer, Strasburg. That's a pretty good one and two on each side. What happens next when you get to starter three, or in maybe even the Nationals' case, Anibal Sanchez, who has had kind of a bounce-back year, especially in the second half, is brought into a game? What do you like after the top two starters on each side, if we get to that point?
Well, the threes are good, too. I mean, Corbin and Greinke are good. Greinke's been a little shaky, I feel like, so far in October. I think the Astros, what they do for four is kind of the big question. I think the Nats like Sanchez. I think he's actually been really, really good for them so far this postseason, which is crazy if you go back and look at how bad he was, you know, for a couple of years there. The Astros, you know, I don't know. I mean, they kind of, in that spot, they went bullpen against the Yankees. They have plenty of guys. I mean, Brad Peacock is a guy who has been a starter and reliever over the years. So, you know, they could sort of throw him in there and see what happens, which is what they did against the Yankees. You know, they do have Wade Miley, which I mentioned earlier. You know, who knows whether he's going to make the World Series roster. But, yeah, I think that's sort of the one pitching question of the starters. And then you get into the bullpen stuff, which I'm curious to see how the bullpens play out. You know, are the Nationals going to do that thing where they are, you know, going to relieve Max Scherzer with Patrick Corbin, or are they going to be a little more traditional in that sense? And, you know, what are the Astros going to do? The Astros, I feel like, have a few more dependable relievers than the Nationals, but they're also not, you know, they're not the Yankees, neither of them are the Yankees in terms of, you know, having really good back-end bullpens. So I think that could be, I think this could be a very old-school series in a way where you're, you know, every starting pitcher is hoping for, or every manager is hoping for seven innings out of their starting pitching because they don't want to have to, you know, expose their bullpen for that long.
Hey, so is that buoyed by, we all know now that the baseballs are a little bit different here in the postseason, that adds to, man, this could be a starters World Series?
I think so. I mean, I think I don't even know that that's like a hypothesis at this point. I think everyone's just kind of accepting it. So if I think that certainly helps the pitchers. These pitchers in particular are very good. I think the person who probably benefits the most, believe it or not, is Justin Verlander. You know, the one flaw with him is that he gave up a lot of home runs this year. And the Astros as a whole, actually, that was like the one thing that they were kind of not great at, was they gave up, you know, more home runs than you would expect for a team that was as good as they were. So, you know, I think that could be something that going forward helps them.
Yeah, I think by now everyone can recite what the Nationals were after 50 games. They were 19-31. Davey Martinez was probably on the hot seat. They were underachieving. They had all of this talent, young, veteran, versatile with the lineup, and then things clicked. What turned around for the Nationals that they finished as well as they did during the regular season, but then here in the postseason, on the brink of getting eliminated by the Brewers, they win? on the brink of getting eliminated by the Dodgers. They win, and then they steamroll St. Louis. Who are the Nationals in your mind, Mike?
I just think they're a very solid and well-rounded team. I mean, it starts with the pitching, right? I mean, we've talked now about how good their pitching is. But you look at that lineup, and there's something to be said about how, and people joke about this, but, you know, that Bryce Harper is gone, and they've been this good. And I don't think that's anything about Bryce Harper as much as it's a testament to, you know, these guys that they have on their team. You know, Juan Soto is really, 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 really good. You know, like, I don't think that's the secret at this point. And same with Anthony Rendon. But then, you know, when you get into the Trey Turners and you know, Adam Eaton has been, he's had some really important hits for them this postseason and, you know, really solid. And then you get into some of the old guys who have, you know, been really, I think, clutch in the postseason. Mm-hmm. You know, Howie Kendricks and Ryan Zimmerman. And you got, you know, Kurt Suzuki. And then there's a lot of, like, veterans on this team who are, you know, doing, playing important innings, making important contributions for the Mets. And I think for them, I think the clicking was just sort of everything going in the same direction, finally. And you know, not this sort of sporadic thing. And, you know, again, bullpen. I mean, the bullpen is the caveat to all this. That's their one thing. And the fact that they've been able to get it all going in the right direction, though, I think is just a testament to, like, how deep and how talented their lineup is. And like I said earlier, the question to me is, how does this time off affect them? Does it recharge them, or do they kind of lose, you know, that gusto they had going?
All right, series starts tomorrow night in Houston. Does it come back to Houston for a game 6 or 7, in your opinion?
That's a good question. I want to say that it does. I still think this is the Astros series to win, but I think I'm going, like, Astros in 6.
Great stuff. Mike, have a fun time of the World Series. We appreciate your time, as always.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Take care.
That's Mike Oz. You can follow Mike throughout the World Series, on Twitter at Mike Oz, and you can see his latest edition of Old Baseball Cards, where he sits down with a former major leaguer, and they open up an old pack of baseball cards. And this week, it is Dave Stewart. George, what's that say up there, the World Series? I was off a game. I thought Verlander would shut down the Yankees in the Bronx on Friday night. Didn't happen.
Right.
So we get what we get. Game 6, the drama of DJ LeMahieu and Jose Altuve. But what's the World Series matchup there?
That bottom says Astros, Nats.
Thank you. Thank you. That's what I predicted before the year began. Two teams that share the same spring training site. I like the Astros in 6. I think the Astros, if they win the World Series, will go down as one of the best teams in the history of Major League Baseball. 107 wins in the regular season, a WAR that is unbelievable. The talent, the pitching, all of that. Should they be as heavily favored as they are? I guess if you're looking at the metrics and people that build tall buildings out in Vegas, they have a reason. I think the series is closer. I think it's over in 6. But I have a follow-up question here about the Yankees. So Friday night, I'm doing a high school game, Millard South and Creighton Prep, and the Yankees are playing. And, you know, we get people occasionally will come up and ask us the score. But they were all older people. Like, you know, Silver Slugger age. And Major League Baseball probably, you know, they want good ratings. Tomorrow night is kind of interesting because it does go against the opening night of the NBA. The youngins are going to watch the NBA because you get the Clippers and the Lakers. You don't have Zion. But the youngins and George are going to watch the NBA. Us olders are going to watch the World Series for Game 1. And I'll watch the World Series even though my team is not in it. But have you met any Yankee fans that are not, like, from New York or grew up in a family where grandpa, grandma, mom and dad, brothers and sisters are Yankee fans that are Yankee fans? I can't recall the last time I met a young Yankee fan. You know, when the Yankees were really, really good.
Yeah.
Like when my grandpa and grandma were going, you know, they were Cub fans, but even like my my dad, you know, he worked for the Mets, didn't want to be a Yankee fan, but people became Yankee fans because they were so popular. Do you meet any young Yankee fans nowadays? Because you just went through the decade of the 2010s without a World Series appearance for the New York Yankees. I think Major League Baseball would have, even though the Astros are a great story and they have a chance to win their second world title in 3 years, kind of like the Yankees, because you want somebody in there that you hate. You want a team that you are vehemently against. You know, does anybody watch the World Series as a casual fan and go, man, I dislike the Nats. Oh, those Astros, man. Once they did away with the rainbow uniforms, can't stand the Astros. Don't like them. Yankees bring attention. The Yankees bring hate. The Yankees probably bring the casual fan. Because I think this series will be more of the diehard baseball fan because of the great starting pitching and some of the great position players you have playing in it. I will watch tomorrow night. You will keep me updated on the NBA, George. I'm the old, you're the young of the program.
Yeah, I got you.
But I like the Astros in six. So I think it starts tomorrow night in Houston, and it comes back for game number six. More thoughts a little bit later on the World Series and how it will shape out. And also, Jose Altuve. Again, I ask, isn't he the Steph Curry of Major League Baseball? He's a little dude that's doing big things. And at some point, and maybe it's already happening, when you talk about Jose Altuve, you don't immediately talk about his height. Because he is one of the best contact hitters in the game since Tony Gwynn. And what a career path that Jose Altuve has had. Once was told it wasn't going to work out. And now he is a staple. He's become an icon in Houston. All right, hour in the books. Later on, Mike Schaefer will join us. More thoughts on a weekend of college football. Just sitting around watching football. And everybody wants to watch games and compare to what you currently are looking at in Lincoln. I did that. You did that. We'll share thoughts. It's Brag and Bitch Monday. There are brags. There are bitches that are in already. We will start to go through those. Some people had a good bye weekend, I'm noticing here. More brags over bitches on a Gary Sharp Show edition of a Monday on 1620 The Zone.